This is CBS, Eye on the World, Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman's website watching space engineering and space exploration. Right now we're watching the People's Republic of China's Long March 5. Again, a disappointment to me, but I'm an amateur, so I'll ask Bob. Bob, Long March 5 is launched. The core stage crashed. Can't they fix that, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yep, I hope everyone's got a good helmet. That's all I can tell you, because today China once again used its Long March 5 rocket, which is a variation of the Long March 5B, and both are essentially China's most powerful rocket. It can put up about 28 tons into low Earth orbit. Not as powerful as the Falcon Heavy or others, but it's still a very powerful rocket. But its core stage, it has multiple strap-ons and then a core stage, and the strap-ons fire for a while and then drop off. And this launched today a military classified satellite from their Wenchang coastal seaport, so those strap-ons fell into the ocean harmlessly. But the core stage continues to burn, and it actually gets into a somewhat unstable orbit, in which it then releases the upper stage with the payload. We know nothing about this payload. It's classified. It's supposedly an optical instrument. Well, it's almost certainly going to be used for ground surveillance by China, since they tell us so little about it. And they're putting it into a high orbit. It could very well be geosynchronous, so it'll see a lot of the Earth, but we just don't know. However, the core stage gets into that unstable orbit. And the way the Long March 5 before has launched previously is once you turn the engines off of the core stage, you can't turn them back on. So it's then in a low, unstable orbit with no way to control it. And repeatedly in the past, those core stages have fallen uncontrollably on Earth. Anywhere. We don't know where they're going to land. There's no way to predict it. In one case back in, 2020, if that core stage had come down 15 minutes earlier, it would have crashed in the New York metropolitan area. Because it does hit the ground. It's big enough to hit the ground. Long March 5 has launched. We do not know if China has upgraded the engines on the core stage. They might have. It might be possible now to restart them, but we know nothing at the moment. We're just going to have to stand by. But sometime in the next week or so, that core stage is going to come back to Earth, and either on a controlled manner over the ocean or in a random location anywhere on Earth, John.
China launches X-37B copycat. What is the X-37B?
X-37B is a mini reusable shuttle that Boeing built for the military. It's run by the Space Force. The U.S. has two of them, and they've done a variety of flights, both vehicles. One was up for almost 3 years at one point. And so this week, both the U.S. and China had scheduled launches of their X-37Bs. The China's is essentially a copy. They've never even given it a name. We don't know what they call it. But we've seen some pictures of it, very few, but enough to know that it is essentially a duplicate of Boeing's. They probably hacked into a computer somewhere and got the plans and then built their own. Now, they've done two previous flights, and so this week they successfully launched on their Long March 2F rocket from the northwest of China. Once again, lower stage is crashing somewhere in China, but we don't know where. Neither do they until they hit the ground. Now, so they put the X-37B into orbit on its third mission. We know very little about it. We don't even know, actually, if it's a third mission of the same vehicle. It could be they have a fleet as well, just like the Space Force has. So we just don't know much, but they have put it into orbit. Now, the U.S. launch of the X-37B this week got scrubbed, and it's an interesting story from SpaceX perspective, because they were going to launch that X-37B on a Falcon Heavy. And shortly before the launch, on December 11th, SpaceX scrubbed it. And they said they scrubbed it due to technical issues with their ground systems. And initially they said they'd be able to get that problem fixed pretty quickly and launch later in the week. But then very shortly thereafter, they announced there are additional issues that require them to roll the rocket back to the assembly building. They don't tell us what this is. And if it is a SpaceX problem, it is incredibly unusual. They've almost done 100 launches this year, with almost none of those launches scrubbed because of technical issues. They do it like clockwork, like it's an airline. They're just doing it right. So for them to have technical issues is unusual. It could be during the countdown, they determined something with the X-37B. It's maybe its interaction with the rocket, maybe something else, and so they have to do it. And we do not know when that's going to launch at this point, John.
We go to more SpaceX news. This is about Starship Super Heavy and what we know about the second test, what we know about the prospect for the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. Right now, Bob, Boca Chica. Was there damage to the pad? I didn't see any detail about
it. Very little. No, a week after the launch, Elon Musk, the November launch, mid-November, right after that second launch, Musk said, "Nope, very little damage to the pad. The delay, the new systems worked perfectly, pretty much. They have to do some repair here and there and some revisions, but nothing significant. It worked," which of course means that they did very little environmental damage to Boca Chica and to the region around. They had done very little damage in the previous launch, except for their own launch pad. They've now fixed that problem. So this update that was published by NASA Space Flight, I've linked to it because they have live streams, many live streams, so they keep constant monitor. Both the Starship prototype number 28 and Super Heavy prototype number 10 have now been rolled to the launch pad area. And basically, SpaceX is beginning a testing phase prior to a launch. And both testing phases appear to be condensed, as to use their word, which means they're trying to work as quick as possible. Now, a week after the mid-November launch, Musk said he thought the company could be ready to do a third test launch within 3 to 4 weeks. We're now about 3.5 weeks after that last launch, and they're rolling their next space rocket to the launch pads. Now, they have testing to do. They're going to do some, static fire tests, and they got to do other things, I'm sure. But they're getting close, and so there's a pretty good chance that SpaceX will be ready to launch on the third Super Heavy Starship orbital launch, test launch. They could even be ready by the end of this year. With Christmas, maybe early January, but I would say yes, by early January at the latest, SpaceX is going to be ready to launch. I predict they will not launch. As I predicted before, both the FAA and the Fish and Wildlife are going to slow walk them. And I predict that there will not be a launch till March at the very earliest, but more likely later. And what's really disgusting about this is that the GAO recently issued a report that told us bluntly that the FAA does no investigations of mishaps. It always gives the job to the company involved and just watches and checks and gives input, but it lets the company do the investigation. So when SpaceX finishes its investigation, there is no reason for the FAA to say, well, we got to finish ours and wait 2 months as they did last time. No, they should be able to say right away, okay, go, launch. But no, I am expecting them to slow walk this as they did before. I expect Fish and Wildlife to do the same, though there is no evidence there's any reason for Fish and Wildlife to be involved in this. They're not doing any harm to the environment. But that's where we stand. Do not expect the launch of the third launch till the spring. What's really bad about this is that SpaceX has a whole bunch of test vehicles ready to go, and they very clearly want them to go to use the test to get them out of the way for what they call version 2 of Starship. These are older versions. They're test vehicles. You want to test fly them so you can learn something, but you want to get rid of them because you need to get the new version in. And so SpaceX is clearly planning to try to launch once every 1 or 2 months this year, and I doubt they're going to be able to do it because of the government.
Bob, I've done a little homework about Fish and Wildlife Services, which is an arm of the Environmental Protection Endangered Species Act of many decades ago. And what I've learned is that Endangered Species Act divides its work into two parts. One is the creature itself. Say the gray wolf once upon a time. The other is what is called the critical habitat, which is as big or small as you want it to be. And there is a hesitation in the Endangered Species Act regulators ever to change the status of something that is at once declared either threatened or endangered or critical habitat.
Correct. It's power for them, and they don't want to give any of that power up. Go ahead.
There is criticism of that, and it's widespread. It's not quiet anymore. And one of the details about critical habitat is that it's in the eye of the beholder. So Boca Chica, I don't know this because I've not seen documents on it. I'm speaking generally about the Endangered Species Act. Boca Chica probably is a critical habitat of fill-in-the-creatures.
Yes, that's exactly right, John. In the wildlife report previously, they talk about this. I don't remember what it is. Turtles, I think, they consider critical habitat. But to give an example of how flexible their definition of critical habitat is, the EPA tried to declare every puddle in the United States a wetland, which would be a critical habitat, years ago. It's an absurd situation.
I understand. I'm not coming to a conclusion. I'm making an observation that SpaceX is in a zone here that can be interpreted as dangerous to the habitat. And so we're going to have to deal with that over the years until and if there's a recognition that critical habitat doesn't mean that we have to preserve every critical habitat of every creature. There are few that can be preserved to provide sustenance. Because habitat destruction is the reason for animals becoming endangered and threatened. So there's no conclusion. It's just that SpaceX has to live with it because everybody else has.
I'll tell you, John, this will change if we have different administration in power because the definitions of critical habitat got shrunk enormously during the Trump administration and allowed private enterprise to function. And under the Biden administration, it's been expanded to an absurd level, again, as it was during the Obama administration, which basically shuts down all American creativity and all human creativity because you can't do anything.
All right,
and that's where we stand.
Mr. Musk has an opinion of the handout that was taken back from him, the $886 million grant for providing internet service to rural America. That would be me. And he's objecting. Although you noted last time, Bob, Musk shouldn't be complaining so loud about a handout.
Oh, he himself agrees. Let me quote him. So the FCC took away a grant of almost $1 billion that it had given SpaceX for providing internet service to rural areas. This was given to them during the Trump administration, and during the Biden administration, they tried to pull it back. He appealed. This week, the FCC announced that they're going to still take that grant away from him. So Musk issued a tweet, and let me read it. The FCC's division, it doesn't make sense. Starlink is the only company actually solving rural broadband at scale. Quote, they should arguably dissolve the program and return funds to taxpayer, but definitely not send it to those who aren't getting the job done. And so Musk is admitting this program could probably go away. You don't need it. I'm save the taxpayer money. But not denying SpaceX the grant is the height of absurdity because it's the only company that's actually doing the job. Musk points out that the companies that lobbied for this earmark, this program, thought they were going to get the money. But instead, SpaceX outperformed them with Starlink, and so they got the money first. And so now they've lobbied the FCC essentially to take the money away from SpaceX and give it to them. But meanwhile, SpaceX is still the only one doing the job. This money should go back to the taxpayer. It's all corruption. There's no doubt about that.
Rocket Lab, that's a good company. What are they up to?
Rocket Labs is the only other commercial company right now in the United States that's really launching a lot. They had a launch failure in September in an upper stage. It's given them several launch failures over the last 3 years, and so they really spent a lot of time trying to fix it. They had a successful launch yesterday, their eighth of the year, and that's a good sign. They put a Japanese radar satellite, a commercial radar satellite, into orbit. And right now, once again, the United States is leading the world in almost every metric in successful launches, John, and that's probably going to be the way the year ends this year.
Dream Chaser, I'm going to be careful. Dream Chaser, is it making progress?
Dream Chaser is the generic name for Sierra Space's fleet of reusable mini shuttles. Now, they haven't built more than one. The one that they've built, they call Tenacity. The one they build, Tenacity is now getting very close to completion. It's going through now environmental testing on the ground for launch. So NASA released this week a detailed description of what the flight plan would be for its first mission to ISS. And they don't set a date other than saying they're planning to do it next year. So it could happen any time next year. It's going to launch on a Vulcan rocket. It's going to stay at ISS for 45 days. It would be testing the rendezvous and docking technology of this reusable ship, as well as the ability to come back to land at Kennedy at the old shuttle runway, John. Let's hope it all works.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.